Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Nick Watts. We've also got Tom Siegel on the line, as well as Tom Nugent from Paddy Power as well. We'll be looking ahead to what's sure to be a glorious week at Goodwood, as well as action at Galway. And we'll look back on a thrilling King George won by Sir Michael Stout. Kicking us off, though, we're going to jump straight in to the Glorious Goodwood race card on day one. First off is the 150 Matchbook Betting Exchange Handicap. Tom Nugent, how do they bet for this one?
Yeah, we're four places here for each way punters, Maddie. AFAC is our 5-1 favourite. Rainbow Rebel 7-1 and next in alongside Al Faris. 15-2 Dark Red alongside Appeared. 8-1 Silver Line. 9-1 Plutonian. And 10-1 Bar.
Fantastic. Now, Watsy, I asked you if you've got any fancies for tomorrow or indeed this week. And you mentioned one horse which had been straight at the top of my list. Go ahead and explain who's your fancy.
Yeah, it goes without saying, and I haven't just heard the betting, it's a very open race, but my eye was drawn to Silver Line, the Godolphin horse. Ran in a mile handicap at Sandown last time out and ran really well, finished quite strongly behind a horse called Via Serendipity. He ran really well in the international, I think finished fourth at the weekend, so that's kind of worked out quite nicely. It was his first run for a long time. He'd been to Maidan in the spring, first run back, so might well have needed it. And he's been racing exclusively over shorter trips for all of his career. But, you know, that seemed to get some improvement out of him to step up to a mile. And the way he finished there, you think another couple of furlongs wouldn't go amiss. So they've got a good £5 claimer on board as well, take a bit of weight off. So all that added up, I thought he had a decent chance. So I was really encouraged by that run last time out.
I think he was placed in the Norfolk as a juvenile or something like that as well. So he's got that speed. Tom, who's going to be getting you off to a good start? Tom Siegel, this is.
Probably nothing, Maddie, knowing my record at Goodwood. God, I find it really hard. The problem with a race like this, it's going to be about luck, isn't it? It's going to be about positioning and luck. I agree with Watsy about Silver Line there. I think he was one of my selections. I backed him last time at Sandown, and I thought he should have won, really. He just got a bit unlucky, got hampered about three or four times and probably would have won with a clear run. The form's pretty good. Question is, is he any great value now around, I don't know, did you say eight? Tom said eights, I think, there, and I wasn't sure that was brilliant for a race as competitive as this. I thought he might be a bit bigger, considering he's got a few questions to answer. He's up in trip, isn't he? The ground's going to be a little bit softer this time. I think that'll be okay, but he's got a few questions to answer, and it's a wide-open race. I thought it was really hard. I thought there were plenty you could fancy. I thought Dark Red, last year's winner, got disqualified, was going to run well. Afark, stepping up in trip, he won the Silver Cambridgeshire, didn't he, over 9? I think he might be better over 10. William Haggis has got 2, and then there's one down the bottom, Tough Rock, that was well back last time, probably didn't stay a mile and a half. So there's plenty in there. I do get the Silver Line love. I think there is definitely some potential in him improving for the trip. But the price is the issue with him. I'm not sure he's an 8-1. I thought he might be a bit bigger.
Okay, so you'll be sort of keeping your powder dry for the first race. Tom Nugent, what's your verdict?
Absolute big fat pass. I think the lads, Tom said it well, they're like 5-1 the field and not savage value, the rest of them. It's a market that's possibly just kind of waiting to see what takes shape overnight. I'd imagine it might look maybe quite different come post time when punters come in for something, and it'll just have a little bit more depth to it. But just at the moment, it's a very trappy race. From a punting perspective, there's enough trappy races at Galway for me to lose my money, so I think I'll leave the first at Goodwood off.
More of that later. Moving on to the 225 Qatar Vintage Stakes Group 2 for juveniles. Confiding, he's only ran once, but that form's worked out really well. Tom Nugent, he's likely to go off favourite here, is he? Or is he getting a bit weaker in the betting?
No, strengthening, if anything. Was 5-1 at one stage. Now our 3-1 favourite, 9-2 Dark Vision, 15-2 Dunkerin, and 8-1 and bigger the rest.
Now, Tom Siegel, Confiding is not usually the sort of horse I get attached to, but that form of his first win's working out really well, and I think he could be really classy. What do you reckon?
I agree with all that. The problem is he's 4-1, stepping up in class from a wide draw at Goodwood. He's just not my type of bet, Maddie. I mean, I'm quite happy to go and see him win, but he's got plenty to prove. The time was awful at, was it Newbury? Yeah, it was Newbury. The form's worked out well, so that's probably irrelevant. You know, we've had
seven horses from behind him have now come out
and won. So clearly he's well above average. Martin Mead's obviously got advertised, so he knows where he stands with all these horses. He was talking about group races straight after his win. So I get why he's at the head of the market, but just he's just one of those horses that priced up on potential rather than what they've done. So he's one of the ones that I immediately cross off. It's not to say that he won't win, but it's never a horse I'd back at that price. So I'll be looking elsewhere.
What would you be looking at then? What do you reckon of the likes of... I'd give Cosmic Lore a quick look, because I know he was... on face value, perhaps a bit disappointing in the Coventry, but that's really strong form, and he was sort of out on his own leading. Maybe we can give him a little bit of let off for that run.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought he might go well. I thought Dark Vision for Mark Johnson. I think he's been well backed in recent days, which is sort of ties in with the confiding line there, that he was about a 12-1 shot a couple of days ago. I think Tom there said he was 6-1. He was really impressive at York, and he'll definitely stay 7 furlongs, as will Cosmic Law, who was incredibly strong at the finish in the Epsom Woodcote Stakes, wasn't he? And then I agree with you, the ground would have been too quick, and he did too much too soon at Ascot. So yeah, they're definitely interesting horses. There's plenty in there. I personally the one I didn't really warm to was Duncare, and he's might have the best form on his fourth to advertise in the July Stakes, I think it was, whatever it was called last time. But I thought he was sort of at it a long way from home and sort of picked up some pieces. So he was the one I was sort of against, but trying to find the one I'm with, I'm really confused, really. I don't really know. Blonde Warrior is a horse I like for Hugo Palmer, who won this with the Guineas winner, Galileo Gold, a few years back. I thought he was quite a nice horse, but it's tough.
Okay, what's the anything you're getting particularly excited about in this Vintage Stakes? It's quite a deep race, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's one we haven't mentioned. I think Tom's talking about Richard Kingscote then. Dascombe's got one in here, I think, called Drocon. He was quite interesting. Thought he won very nicely at Haydock last time out. And I agree about Kingscote. I think he's really good, and I think he's very good at getting fractions right as well, particularly when he goes from the front. So I think he would be an interesting horse. You know, confiding, I do like the way he won at Newbury last time, but he had to kind of thread his way through horses to get there. And I think for a first-time out two-year-old to do that, to show the bravery to go in between horses and, you know, go through narrow gaps, it shows something about him. And yeah, he was still slightly green as well when he hit the front, didn't really know what he was doing, but still won quite nicely. So I think there's probably quite a lot of improvement to come from him. So they were kind of the two that I zeroed in on. I probably would give a narrow vote to confiding, because, you know, just sometimes you see something and you think it might be quite good. And, you know, as you mentioned, the form's worked out brilliantly. So I would give him the benefit of the doubt. And yeah, it is a bit of hype over experience, or, you know, that kind of equation, but you know, I like to give these kind of horses the benefit of the doubt and see how far they can go, and hopefully he can take another step up the ladder.
Watson, would you back him at 4-1?
It's a good question. It's possibly he might drift, do you think?
I was
thinking that. I was sort of hoping that I was going to ask Tom Nugent this, if you know, they come for something else, he could drift out a bit and he could look a bit of a better price, because it is a sticky situation in that you really like the horse, but at the same time he needs to prove himself a bit more than some of the others, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. And he's drawn in stall 10. It's difficult. It's Goodwood. It's, you know, as Watsy said, he's got something about him, didn't he? He had definitely had something about him on his debut. It's just the price thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You feel it's one of those that you feel and a complete muppet when he wins. You think 4-1 and he goes and then wins a group one later on. You think, oh, that was a good bet. A bit like Expert Eye last year when, you know, you're sitting there exactly the same. I was making exactly the same points last year, thinking, oh, you know, it's too short a price, this, that and the other. And he goes and bolts up, and then, you know, we know he's running in the Sussex Stakes this week. But then if he gets beat, you sort of think, that was a stupid bet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a really stupid bet. He's got one run, not in a great time, coming in from an outside draw at Goodwood. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah. Tom Nugent, are you going to be having a stupid bet on confiding or not?
I don't think so, but Tom made a good point at the top there just about the price and on potential thing. He's a type of favourite that reminds me a little bit of Without Parole in the St James's Palace in Ascot. Yeah. Everyone's kind of saying, oh, he's beaten nothing, he just looks good. And like you say, he just kind of goes and makes a fool out of everyone then. But the two I like, I was slightly disheartened to hear Tom slate Duncarron. Well, not slate him. I thought he just looked like a horse maybe over 6 the last day, just outpaced. And up to 7, he'd be interesting. Now 15-2 isn't an amazing price. And the other one I'd give a shout out to Surprise, surprise, Irish person mentions Irish horse. Van Beethoven, I think, has been just completely overlooked after just not giving his running over six in the July Stakes, the last day. He came to the Curragh for the Marble Hill with an absolutely massive reputation. The talk in the Curragh that day was that this horse is very, very, very good. Now, he did get beaten by a very good filly in Fairyland that day, stepped up to six and won the Railway Stakes, only managed to finish fourth in the Windsor Castle, and obviously just didn't give his running the last day. 10-1 is a fair price. The only thing putting me off would be Aidan's comments there during the week about the wellness of his string, but it'd be interesting to see if there's any few quid for him on the day. I think he might be overlooked in the market at the moment.
Fantastic. Moving on to the 3 o'clock Qatar Lennox Stakes Group 2 over 7 furlongs. We'll get to see the three-year-old Tip to Win back out again. He's going to be taking on last year's winner Breton Rock and the likes of Soudouane, Sir Dancelot, who was fourth in the July Cup last time. Tom Nugent, how do they bet for this race?
We're 7-2 Tip to Win is the favourite at the moment. Sir Dancelot 9-2 next in. Swedwa 13-2. Dubai 15-2. 8-1 Dutch Connection. 9-1 Emmaus. 10-1 Spirit of Valor. And 12-1 and Bigger the Rest.
Now, Tom Siegel, it's an interesting race, this one, but I'm just a bit suspicious about that three-year-old miling form. What would you reply to that? Are you in the same camp or not?
I don't know. I mean, if you look back to the Guineas and you know, you've got the Derby winner in there, you've got the Eclipse winner in there, you've got the Eclipse second in there. I think they're all very good horses. Whether they're very good horses at a mile is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily negative to the three-year-old mile form at all. And the only thing I'd say is I think Tip to Win loves fast ground. Mm-hmm. I think he's better at the faster the ground, the better for him. I don't think anything went his way at Ascot last time. Really, I think he just didn't get the run of the race. It wasn't that he wasn't unlucky in any stretch of the imagination. I just didn't think things really went for him. Mm-hmm. I'd just be slightly concerned I know they're saying it's good to firm. I don't believe that. I think it'd be on the soft side of good. I live not far from Goodwood, and it belted down all day yesterday. They must have had 20 millimeters of rain on top of water ground. If they hadn't had that, you'd tell him, you know, it would have been good to firm, and now it's still good to firm. So,
yeah,
you know, I can't have that. I think it'll be on the slower side of good for the first day. That would be my worry for him, because I think he loves really fast ground. He's got good form. He ran well, fine behind Mark Johnson's horse that got beaten on Saturday, the Frankel horse that was favourite for the Guineas. Can't remember its name at Goodwood last year, at Newmarket last year. He's a very, very decent horse, but on the ground against the older horses. Not sure. Ella Camp's the horse I was trying to think of.
Yeah, okay. What's he over to you? What are your thoughts on this race?
I quite like Sir Dancelot, actually. I think it's a perfect trip for him. He ran really well last time out in the July Cup, you know, closing fourth. I think early in his career
best for him, that.
Yeah, I think early in his career, Elsie wanted to make him into a miler. And I think, you know, early on in his three-year-old career, he, you know, wanted to make him into a Guineas prospect, but, you know, didn't quite materialise. Don't think he stayed properly, really, to be honest. He's kind of found his niche again this year. He won a Group 3, I think, over 7 furlongs at Newmarket prior to his great run in the July Cup. So I think 7 furlongs is absolutely ideal.
Do you worry about him round a bend? Do you think he's perhaps better suited to straight tracks?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, there's loads of different variables in the race, isn't there? And sometimes you can tie yourself in knots wondering if he does go around the bend or if he doesn't. I'm sure that he could. Tip to Win, yeah, I don't know. He's an interesting one for me, Tom, because I've seen some of these horses run above themselves in Guineas in the past. You know, you think of horses like Gloria Waite, Candidate, those massive price horses that place in the Guineas kind of run above themselves and then they disappear without trace. And so I think this is an important race for Tip to Win. You know, he'll either come good again and show that the Guineas form, you know, his Guineas run was what he's capable of, or if it was, you know, a below par display tomorrow, you'd be a bit concerned about where he's going.
The only thing I'd say about him is that he does have good back form, this horse. He's not quite like Gloria Waits. You know, even if you go back to last year when he won his listed race, he beat Tigre to Tear by 3 or 4 lengths. I mean, he was really impressive. He's gone out to Qatar, won 2 races by miles, and he was only beaten 3 or 4 lengths in the St. James's Palace. So I think his form stacks up pretty well. I don't think he's necessarily a flash in the pan. But I do just wonder on the ground, trap on the outside stall against older horses. Look, it's another thing. It's another one. If he was 10-1, I'd be all over him.
Who is your selection, Tom?
I'm quite interested in Emmaus, if that's how you pronounce it.
I think that's spot on, yeah.
I just thought he's 3 from 4. The only time he's got beaten is beaten on over a mile by Al Wuker, who was a proper Group 1 horse in France. Every time he's run in this country with some give in the ground, he's won easily. He beats Sir Dancelot. It was only narrowly he beats Sir Dancelot, and he was getting, what was it? He was getting about £10 from him at Leicester in a handicap last year. But if you watch the race, I think there was no doubt, you know, I think if a mouse had got a run earlier, he'd have won by a good few lengths. Sir Dancelot was 2-1 that day. A mouse was 10-1. Now, obviously, he's much worse off in the weights here, but Roger Varian's horses are sort of running back in form. I think they had a down period during the Ascot time. They're back running well again now. And I thought, just at the prices, he's got plenty of upside, hasn't he? He might be a horse that we haven't seen the best of yet.
Very unexposed. Tom Nugent, what do you think the market's likely to do with this one? And where do you stand on who's going to win?
Not certain at the moment, Maddie. There's no out-and-out kind of up-and-coming superstar. We kind of know where we are at with a lot of the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if they're going to come for one horse in particular. It could be a good betting heat. They might bet around a fair bit. The one for me was, I thought, Swedwa in a race like this. You just needed a tough old battler that's just going to run to his mark. And I thought just Swedwa was the one for me. He's had a couple of runs to get a season underway. This is his time of year. He had a great kind of second half of the season last season as well, and I think he might be a fair price at 13-2 for this.
Yeah, he loves this sort of race as well. We'll move on to the 3:35 Qatar Goodwood Cup Stakes, the Group 1. Of course, we see the return of Stradivarius, the Ascot Gold Cup winner. Is he your idea of the winner here, or are you going to try and look for something to take him on with? Because it's not the most inspiring of fields, is it?
No, nothing to take him on with, I don't think. Maddie, I think we've seen a change in the garden and the staying division this year. I mean, going into Ascot, I was still a big Order of St George fan, and I thought, you know, Ballydoo will get him to the Gold Cup and, you know, put up a great defence, and I thought he would go on and win before the race. But He ran his race, but Stradivarius was always covering him, always running all over him, really, in the home straight. And, of course, he even weakened into fourth in the end. But Stradivarius won very comfortably. And that was kind of backing up the impression he made on his return when he won at York, when he just coasted and he glided through the race and, you know, had no trouble at all putting the race to bed very, very easily. So we know he handles Goodwood, obviously. Aidan O'Brien's trying with Idaho this time. Idaho's a funny horse. There's only £1 between him and Stradivarius in the ratings, but you wouldn't have thought that if you'd been asked that question, because unlike his sibling, Highland Reel, Idaho kind of puts in a good performance followed by a couple of dreadful ones, and his last two runs have been pretty ordinary. And he's, for whatever reason, he's just a nearly horse. He's never quite done it, and, you know, they're trying a new trick with him here. He might be a cup horse, but he's going to have to be, and then some, to topple Stradivarius, I think, who's chasing this bonus as well, isn't
he?
So
of course, yeah.
I think he'll take it in his stride, Stradivarius, and he'll take a lot of beating over staying trips because he's got stamina, but he's got a turn of foot as well. So I really can't see any holes in him at all.
Yep, won this race last year. Of course, he doesn't get the weight allowance this time around, but that's probably unlikely to be a problem. Tom Nugent, is he a strong favourite at the head of the market?
Yeah, rock solid, 4-7, 5-1 Bar, 5-1 second favourite Torcedor, and 8-1 a bigger the rest. Worth pointing out, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if Stradivarius wins the race up to a tenner. So if you want to have a bet around him, you don't fancy backing the favourite, you can take a flyer, and if he wins, you get your money back as a free bet. From a form perspective, I think Nick has it all covered there. It looks pretty straightforward. Interesting, I didn't realise Torcedor was as highly rated as well. He's only a pound back from Stradivarius as well, 117. But yeah, it looks like a bit of a penalty kick to me. I'm not going to try and be in any way interesting or insightful.
Okay, I think Tom might be able to, Tom, because you were...
I'm not going to be interesting or insightful, but I won't agree with the boys, that's for sure.
I was going to say, because you were a big fan of Torcedor after Ascot, and you have mentioned how you like front runners around Goodwood, so would he be your selection?
Well, as far as I can tell, and I'm only reading my form book here, but they're one all. They've run against each other twice, and Torcedor beat Stradivarius in Ascot last year when they were second to order of St. George, and he was beaten a half a length neck here last time. He's a pound better off. The ground's going to be more in his favour. I don't see the disparity in prices. I don't. I get that Stradivarius has got all the ones by his name and is the sort of up-and-comer and the sexy one that everyone wants to love. But on form, to me, there's nothing between them. One of them's 4-7 and one of them's 5-1. I just don't see it. I mean, I might be being completely blinded by my liking for Torcedor and Jessica Harrington, but my God, Watch Ascot again. There's not that much between them. You watch Ascot last year, there isn't that much between them. The one thing that is in Stradivarius' favour is he's got course form. But I can't see any reason why Torcedor won't run well here. The only thing that puts me off having a very nice each-way bet on him is there's only seven runners. And I think Desert Skyline might make the running, you know, might push him. I think it's going to be a really strongly run race. But that will suit Torcedor. He doesn't have to lead. And I think I just don't work it out. If I was pricing this up, I would be 4-5 Stradivarius and 3-1 Torcedor. I'd be much, much shorter about him. I think he's, as the official ratings tell you, he's only a pound behind. The Racing Post ratings tell you he's £2 behind. It's close. It's not as cut and dry as people are thinking.
Okay, moving on to the 410 Ingenious Swiss Gin EBF Maiden Stakes. This race had a 100-1 winner last year. Tom Nugent, do you think it's going to be a similar scenario this time around?
Haven't a clue because we haven't got it priced up yet, but wouldn't have a massive opinion here. I'll defer to the gentlemen who lived their lives in a day in and day out in British horse racing there.
What do you reckon? Did you have a chance to look at this race?
Yeah, I did have a little look. The Godolphin horse was the one that caught my eye because I noted it when it ran last time. It finished second behind stablemate. Al Hilali won the race, I think, and Al Murab, the horse that's running here, finished second. Quite an encouraging second as well. A bit of a quandary in that I think that was 7 furlongs last time. He's come back to 6 here, so he needs to be a bit sharper for that. But it's obviously a race full of unknowns, really. But based on that first performance, it was very promising. And if he goes on from that, then I'd say he'd have a good chance. But, you know, there's always something that can come out of the woodwork, as you just pointed out about last year.
Yeah. Tom, quick word from you on this race.
Like the boys say, it's a bit of a guessing game here. I think it's interesting. Ryan Moorwhite's a newcomer for Richard Hannon. Watan down the bottom. Richard Hannon's horses have a great record at Goodwood. And every time I seem to look up from my computer when I'm pretending to work, I see Carl Burke having a 2-year-old winner. And he's got one in there, Serengeti Song, second on its debut. That form to me was probably as good as the Godolphin horse's form. Can't see any reason why that won't run well.
Brilliant. Moving swiftly on, the 4:45 Chelsea Barracks handicap. Handicap over 5 furlongs. El Astronauti won it last year from A Moment of Madness. He's £10 higher now, but what a horse he is. Tom Nugent, have you got betting on this one for us?
No, sadly
no,
not. But
it is
just a follow-on from the old Epsom Dash series, isn't it? They're all back from the Dash to try and win this. So, El Astronauti was actually the one I had a look at there. Mm-hmm. It looks interesting, but again, no price and wouldn't be my area of expertise. So I'll leave it off to the lads.
Sure. Nick, who's your selection?
Crikey. I'd give a chance to Petick Size, definitely. I think it's a 5-time course winner at Goodwood over Sprint Trip, so obviously loves the place, gets on really well with Holly Doyle. Second in the Dash last time, actually, off the same mark as it runs off 95. So it's obviously a very open race and loads of old favourites coming back. A Moment of Madness always seems to run well at Goodwood. El Astronauti, I think they fought out the finish of this race last season, so again I'm sure they'll run well, but you know, horses for courses, it's that kind of track, Goodwood. If you show that you like it, it's definitely worth a few pounds, and you can definitely say that Petick Side loves it there.
Okay. Tom, do you have any thoughts on where to be in the sprint races? Draw, you know, do you look at anything like that, or is it just pick a horse that's close to the pace?
No, none of those things. None of those things at all. I'm not bothered about the draw, and I'm not bothered about pace these days. I think we make too much of that. I think it's just about trying to find the best handicapped horse. Mm-hmm. Can get too complicated. But I do think I've got a very good line. I've got a very good in here. If this Tom Nugent doesn't get his CV after forgetting to mention the horse number 13 in this race, then I'm on the phone to his boss now. Paddy, he missed your horse in this race.
I'm not sure where the link came from, because Paddy has nothing to do with this horse, but he said he got a call from Fahy's office there one day. He was out, I don't know what he was doing, he was playing golf or something, and he said the phone rang and some person he'd never spoken to before said, "How are you doing? I'm working for Richard Fahy. Do you mind if I call a horse Paddy Power?" And he said, "No, I probably should have thought of that myself, but no work away." But I have no idea what the owners were trying to get at, but they have nothing to do with the company anyway, as far as I know.
You made one mistake there, Tom. You said he was playing golf. I can assure you Paddy Power doesn't play golf. He walks around a golf course with some clubs, but he doesn't play.
Fair enough. You know better than me.
Go on then, Tom. Do you like Paddy Power, or are you looking
really,
at something else?
Not really, no. I just thought, I have no idea about this race. I mean, it's just not my type of race at all. I do get the Petick Side angle. Mm-hmm. I do. He likes Goodwood. He ran really well in the dash, didn't he? And then won here the time before. He will love the setup for the race because they're going to go bonkers, and he's gonna fly home. So I can see that angle. But there's so much pace, isn't there? El Astronauti, A Moment of Madness, just glamorous. Copper Knight. They're some of the fastest horses we got. Mm. We got in the country, so it'll be a good spectacle. Me trying to find what wins it is just not going to happen.
We should prefer just to dig into Tom Nugent instead.
Yeah, exactly.
spend 5 minutes doing that on the postcast. No, we'll move swiftly on to the 5:15 matchbook. Time to move over Philly's handicap. And I said move swiftly on because there is a filly called Move.
Very clever. I didn't realise you'd done that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. You're very clever. See what she got there.
I'm here all week. Well, anyway, so Haggas and Doyle, we were talking about sexy horses earlier on. She's likely to be popular in the betting. I'm not sure if you have betting on it yet, Tom Nugent, but I'm sure she will be a big selection given that she's really unexposed. Who's your selection, Tom? I'll go to you first, Nugent.
Yeah, no betting yet, and you're right, Maddie. She kind of still has that could-be-anything tag about her, but the form, the lads that will knock her try, probably when the meeting comes around, the trading floor will just be kind of like the forms at Chelmsford and Wolverhampton. The one I thought might be banging on the door off of 84 was Elysium Dream here. She might have a chance, but again, it's a wide-open handicap. Be interesting to see what the lads think.
Nick?
No, massive fancy in you know, you've said about Move Swiftly. Great segue there at the start. And she obviously stands out because she's lightly raced. She's trained by William Haggas, only had 3 runs. So you'd obviously think she's capable of better and capable of going to these places like Glorious Goodwood, et cetera, and performing well. Only done it on the all-weather. That's the only drawback to her. So, you know, no reason to assume she wouldn't go on grass. But I suppose, if you want to tick every box, you'd like to see a bit of turf form in there. But So it's a slight unknown, more tricky race. But she's, we talked about a few sexy horses today. She would be the one in that race.
Yep, indeed. Man of the moment, James Doyle, on board as well. Tom, are you buying this sort of hype train, or are you just going to go for something else?
Well, I hope there's a massive hype train, because I will be having a good bet in this race if there is, because I won't back her. Not only has she got no turf form, she's in the outside stall. Mm. I mean, now, that might not be a problem. It's not so bad on the first day of Goodwood because the rail's out. But it does make life difficult for James Doyle. He's going to have to come. Now, it might be fine. The ground might be better up the middle or whatever. But I think she's going to be a too short a price on what she's done. You know, she's only won all-weather races. And for me, she's just one to take on. I mean, look, we don't know the prices yet, but my guess is she'll be 3 or 4 to 1 in a race where she's got so much to prove. She hasn't proven she's good enough. She hasn't proven she acts on turf, and she's got the worst draw. So that's the type of horse I want to take on. There's loads in there. Mm-hmm. I think She Believes at the top is quite a good filly. I like, funnily enough, I quite like number ones in handicaps around Goodwood. It sounds ridiculous, but she's got a bit of class about her. She ran well last year. She wasn't far behind Elysian Dream in that big...
The Newmarket race
that year. She was not drawn on the other side. I mean, she's a bit worse off at the weights now, but I thought she ran well. But like you, deep down, I think Elysian Dream and for Richard Hannon might be one. Once again, though, she's drawn in 12, but I think her experience and her turf form, she might be able to overcome that.
Okay, we'll move on to get your Goodwood Day 1 naps now, then.
This will not be.
Oh my God, what's that?
You've heard that many times, Tom.
Never, we've never done that before. What's that?
We always do that.
Not with me, you've never done that before.
Well,
honestly.
There we are.
What is it? Who's singing that?
Steve Palmer. Dulcet Tones.
Does he sing like that, does he? Well, he should do after Dustin Johnson last night. That was very good, that one.
You didn't hear the remix, you should have heard that. That was something special.
Superb.
Was it?
You're missing out on life, Tom.
Clearly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is that what you do? You go home and listen to Steve Palmer remixes?
Yeah,
I'm totally missing out on life.
Yeah, really are. anyway, your nap, Tom.
I will back Torcedor.
Okay, what's he?
Silver Lion in the first.
Tom Nugent.
Swedwa, 3 o'clock.
Okay, we'll look ahead to Galway just after this.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. Lots of us looking ahead to Galway, and we're going to do that just now. The 5:20 Comquin BMW Novice Hurdle is a listed race. There's a fancy Willie Mullins favourite in there, Tom Nugent. What's taking your eye?
Yeah, you're right, Matty. Exchange Rate will probably make the market at the moment. He's an interesting horse, bred in Germany, but he's got the three ones beside his name, and he won a flat maiden for qualified riders over in Galway as well, over a mile and a half, I think it was. So he has obviously got a bit of course form. For anybody who doesn't know Galway, it's quite a unique track. A lot of undulations, turning all the time, and there's quite a stiff climb up to the finish. Look, he'll probably set up the market. It'll be interesting. This will be the first time that he might meet ground with a bit of a cut in it. They've had a lot of rain in Galway over the last couple of days. I think they've had 20 mils after quite a long drought, so it might be a bit soft on top. The other one that'll probably jump in second favourite is the William Mullen second string, Pecora. She's won in France on bad ground, and she won a maiden hurdle in Cork on very bad ground as well. Be interesting to see what the betting does. The market isn't up just yet, but it'll be interesting to see what it does closer to post time. We won't know. Obviously, we haven't had a race in Galway, so we won't know what it's riding like just at the moment. But if it was to ride a little bit softer, she might shorten up. But yeah, two very interesting horses that'll probably make the market. There's a couple of fillies in here as well, or mares, I should say. That probably looks more like a run for cheap black type as opposed to an actual tilt at the race. So I'd be very surprised if it isn't one of the Willie Mullins horses that takes the race, to be honest with you. The big race of the day tomorrow on Tuesday is the Colin Quinn Mile, of course. That's 120 grand in the pot for that, so it's a real competitive mile handicap. Riven Light won it last year for Willie Mullins. The one I liked that was fancied out of the way going to Royal Ascot the last day was Salt and Stall. That went for the Royal Hunt Cup and just didn't quite run a decent race. Won a good handicap in the Curra and is probably still well treated. 15-2 poke with Paddy Power at the moment. It'll be interesting to see what price it goes off. It's got a good draw as well, drawn two on the rail. It's nice and handy. The other one I thought at a price that might run a good race was Turbine down the bottom of the weights for Dennis Hogan. Killeen Leonard takes three off his back, 25-1 shot just for an each way bet. Has been banging on the door, I think, is still competitive. I think he's rated 84 there at the minute and gets a first time visor, so he could be interesting. And the other one that I might just call out in the last race, I think Gunmaker will have a chance in the 8:40 in the 7 furlong handicap for Gavin Cromwell. Won a race. He switched over from David Simcock over to Gavin Cromwell and won a handicap up in Dundalk. Was put up to a mile for the last couple of runs, just didn't quite see out the mile. I think back to seven could bring about a bit of improvement, and keep an eye out for Gunmaker in the last.
Fabulous. You said earlier, Irishman tipping Irish horse. Can you give us any points as anything you particularly need for Galway? Anything that we should keep our heads up about when trying to pick winners at the track?
I would say the biggest thing probably for me, and it's probably hard to explain in a sentence or two, but is keep an eye on the smaller trainers. I definitely wouldn't rule out smaller yards. This is a very big festival for small trainers who've got owners and connections based in the west of Ireland. It's a big, big week for them. It's a big week in the Irish calendar. They'll be minding horses all year for a tilt at a race in Galway, and don't rule them out. Don't just look at Willie or Gordon or Dermot Weld or whatever, even though they do have fantastic records at the festival. Do not rule out the smaller trainers at the Galway Festival.
There we go. Top advice now over to the other Tom. Do you have any thoughts on this 7:40? It's a really competitive race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's spent hours looking at that this morning. It probably means I have no clue where to start, Maddie. It's really, really hard. The thing I would say is just I've been looking at Galway and this race particular for many, many years now, and it really, really is hard to win from out wide. Okay. I like Tom Nugent there, was quite keen on Turbine because he was third, I think, in this race last year to Riven Light, and he's a lot better off at the weights, got a good jockey on. But stall 17 just makes life difficult. Now, it can be overcome if the race goes your way, but you need the race to go your way. You need to be able to get out, drop in, up the front and get a run from there. So it is tricky. I think there'll be plenty of pace on here. I get South and Stall. I think the more it dries out, the better for him. But I think the clear one to beat is Inscribe. I know he's favourite for Ger Lyons. Ger Lyons won this a few years ago with Brendan Bracken, and he won by about 10.5 lengths or something. He won by absolutely miles. This horse reminds me very much of him coming into the race. Now, whether the difference is this time he's, I don't know, 4 or 5 to 1, I think Tom said there, and Brendan Bracken was a big price on the day. But I think from stall nine, he might be a little bit better over further, but I think he's going to be really hard to beat. Bond Street's a favourite of mine. I thought he ran a cracking race in the Britannia But stall 14, he's going to be held up out the back. He's going to need a lot of luck. He might be up to it, but for me, really, it's all about Inscribe. Whether punters are going to want to get stuck in around 4-5-1, I'm not sure, in a 20-runner handicap, but I think definitely the right favourite and definitely the one to beat.
Okay, just for your benefit, Tom Siegel, we're going to play this again for Tom Nugent's tip. What's your Galway nap, Tom Nugent?
This will not be beaten.
It's getting worse. My God.
We're going to have as many opportunities as we can.
I know you are. I know you are. There's a surprise.
Just to do it, especially to wind you up. Anyway, Tom, take it away.
I'll be keeping a very close eye on Gunmaker. In the last tomorrow, and the one for the week, although it might be a very short price, is Wicklow Brave on Friday night. They seem to be shouting and roaring about him.
Grand old favourite Wicklow Brave. We'll have a quick review of Ascot just after this.
Paddy Power are offering a money back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the final edition of this Monday postcast. We're going to look back on what was a brilliant renewal of the King George. Tom Siegel, you were a bit downhearted beforehand about how no three-year-old's running it and it's not the race it was, but it did deliver on this occasion, didn't it? It was a marvellous race.
It was a great race. It was a great race. Thank God for Michael Stout. It wouldn't have been a great race, but the two of them are top-class horses, aren't they? They're as good as older horses there are around. They would be as, you know, up there with older horses of the past. I'm not decrying those two at all. It was just a little bit disappointing that we didn't. It's a bit like the Goodwood Cup tomorrow. You could have a three-year-old in there. It just provides another aspect to the race. It gives a form pundit something to go on, three-year-olds versus older horses. That's the only thing. But as you said, it was a tremendous race and two really, really high-class horses.
And what did you make of the whole cracksman debate? Do you think that John Gosden was quite within his right to take him out so late? Could you see it coming? Or do you think bit annoying?
No, it wasn't annoying at all, because he was very open with the public, wasn't he, for many, many days in advance, wasn't it? We knew on Monday that he wasn't going to run unless the ground was in his favour. The owner came out and said he wouldn't be running on good to firm ground. It was good to cover firm ground. I don't particularly love waiting until the last, you know, until halfway through the day, because I think it was pretty obvious it was going to be good to firm ground. But look, we all knew. I think we'd all had our bets before, you know, in the week. You know, I don't think it made that much difference. Obviously, it was a rule four on the day, but I didn't see it as being a great problem, no.
OK, Tom Siegel being an advocate for common sense there.
Yeah,
looking ahead,
unusual.
Looking ahead for future targets, what's the Ark and the Judmont? Maybe we'll get some prices on those from Tom Nugent in just a sec. But where would you go with Poet's Word and Crystal Ocean now?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because they're both in the same yard. They've both gone for the same race here. And, you know, I thought the great thing about Saturday's race was that so often when you build a race as a match, one of them doesn't turn up. On this occasion, both of them turned up. They're both on their A game. They both ran fantastic races. And it was a great finish. And, you know, there was a lot of conjecture afterwards about the jockeyship, and some people saying James Dore rode a brilliant race and William Buick didn't. I think that's a load of rubbish. They both pulled 9 lengths clear of Coronet. It's very, very fine margins. There wasn't much in it. Poet's Word just got there on another day. Crystal Ocean would have held on. I don't think there's anything to say, you know, in terms of jockeyship. I thought neither of them did anything wrong, really. I suppose.
Well, Crystal Ocean was going to be positive because he wanted to find out if Poet's Word had the stamina for it, didn't he, over that trip?
Crystal Ocean ran in the Ledger last season, so he obviously stays a mile and a half very well. Poet's Word, I suppose there was slightly more doubt as to whether he absolutely did or not. But no, it was great, and it was, you know, great for Sir Michael and the owners involved to allow them to take their chance against each other, because, as Tom said, without one of them, it would have been a coronation and it wouldn't have been that interesting a race. So no, it's great. As for future targets, I'm not sure all the top middle distance races for both of them can be on the agenda for later in the season. So whether they both turn up in Paris in October or before then, who knows? And I suppose, alternatively, they could still drop back in trip. They're both very good at a mile and two as well. They're very versatile. So, yeah it's a fantastic race. Maybe not a classic King George's because of Tom said it's, no three-year-olds there. But, you know, often it doesn't often take many to make a great race. And if you've got two on their A game like they were, then it did make for a fantastic finish. You didn't know which way it was going to go until, you know, a few yards from the line. And that was good.
Okay, Tom Nugent, did you get anyone nibbling at prices for the Ark and the Judmont after that?
Yeah, Poet's Word is our 13-8 favourite now for the Judmont from 7-2. And in the Ark, Poet's Word is 8 from 12, I think. And Crystal Ocean is 10-1. Poet's Word, third favourite, Crystal Ocean, fourth. Not much between them, obviously, given the win and distance the last day. But an absolutely brilliant race. Really, really just as enjoyable a race as I've seen. And I wouldn't be a flat racing man at all, but that's one of the...
On the Goodwood Day One podcast.
Well, we've got a bit. We've got a good beginner's chase at Galway. I really, really enjoyed it. I would have Poet's Word's performance as good as probably any performance I've seen at Ascot now, just purely because the way Coronet fell back into his face and he got caught there, he had to make up about 4 or 5 lengths, and it looked like he was bet when they came around the elbow into the straight, but he really picked up. And just, there's a great photograph going around on Twitter of the two of them going at it, their ears absolutely pinned back, and they're flat out honest as the day is long. So it's great, really, really good race to watch.
Brilliant attitudes. And finally, before we move on, Trip for Poet's Word, would you stick to this mile and a half or go back?
Me? I think he clearly stayed that very well. The one thing I'd say is I think Crystal Ocean wants softer ground. I think that was what beat him rather than I think he's fine on good to firm ground, but I think he's better on softer ground. I think come the Arc, I would fancy him to turn the tables on if the ground was softer.
Okay. And you weren't a big fan of him going into it, were you? No, were you sort of persuaded now?
No, he was much better, wasn't he? He strode out. I mean, look, the form is, I don't know what Racing Post ratings would say, but he must be £10 at least better than what he showed at Ascot the time before. It was just, where I got it wrong clearly was that it was the warm-up race, wasn't it? So Michael Stout, in his geniusness, if that's a word, was getting him ready for the King George, and he did it. He got him spot on, and he just found one that was a neck too good for him.
Okay, moving on. Burnt Sugar, what's he managed to get another big handicap
don't
up?
Don't mention that name.
Were you not on him again at 20-1?
Again. Drives me mad, that horse.
Huge.
How the hell, Watsy?
How
did Chessman not win?
How
did Chessman not win, Watsy?
Yeah, I don't know. It's you've got to take your hat off to Burnt Sugar. I
mean, amazing, isn't it?
To win one big handicap in the season is hard enough thing to do. And he did that at Newmarket a few weeks ago. But then to follow up in another top handicap with so many other horses in opposition with leading chances, great training performance and great for the horse as well. And it's interesting to see Arbelay run so well as well. He was kind of the black sheep from the Solario form last season. He finished third behind Massar and Romanized, who obviously gone on to win classics. He kind of got a bit lost afterwards, Arbelay, but obviously he's coming back into really good form now, and I think he's definitely one to keep a... It's kind of out there now, isn't it? Because everyone would have seen him running so well, but he's definitely one to note for later in the season. But hats off to Burnt Sugar, his tremendous performance.
Tom, why didn't you get involved then? He's such a big price.
Good question. I should have. I don't know. I'm a bit weird, Maddie, if truth be told.
Stop right there.
I was on him for the Hunt Cup, and then you sort of and I've missed him the last twice. I don't have no idea. To be honest, it was very frustrating because I really, really fancied Chessman and I thought he should have won. I like Oisin Murphy as a jockey, but boy, did he overcomplicate it on Saturday. I mean, he was drawn in trap 28 and he switched right round onto the middle of the other pack, out last. He finished fast. He was only beaten a length. You know, the horses drawn high around him all stayed where they were. They all ran fine races. And I just thought he made it too difficult and that Chessman should have won. And that if they ran the race again, he would be the favourite for the race. And I always think that's the key to working out whether rides are good or bad. It would be the prices next time. And I'm pretty sure if they ran the race again, Chessman would be favourite to win the race.
OK, well, I'm going to ask you for your Racing Post tracker horses or weekend eye catchers in just a minute, so he might figure for you, Tom. Final question. I know you're reluctant to talk about Burnt Sugar, but they mentioned the Prix de la Forêt going forward, and I know you like these horses that win handicaps when they step up in trip. Would he interest you there, or do you think it's just perhaps a little bit too much to ask of him?
Look, Roger Fell's an incredibly good trainer, isn't he? And I don't, you know, he's going to go up another £7 for that, isn't he? So he'll be off nearly 110, 107, 110 then. So he's forced into races like that. I don't see any problem with going for it. I would be slightly surprised if at his age he was able to beat proper Group 1 horses over 7 furlongs. But he's definitely worth a shot.
OK, and Tom Nugent, a word on the international stakes from you.
It was great.
Oh, you. Listen, Paddy, you forgot Paddy Power at Goodwood.
Superb. Okay.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm sure you did. Right, RP tracker time. Take it away, Watsy.
I was watching, I don't know why, but I was watching a Thirsk maiden race on Friday afternoon. And there was a Richard Fahey unraced Camelot filly called Suitability, who was really poorly drawn. Market suggested she would do nothing, but she came widest of all and swooped and won quite nicely. And Camelot's just starting to get going as a sire and get some decent horses. And just always amazes me, Richard Fahey's such a good trainer, but his juveniles are often go off at crazy prices. You know, the market kind of disregards them, and this was another one, and she showed the market to be all wrong because she won nicely and wanted to stick in there for the future.
Okay, Tom Siegel.
Couple, very obvious one, Anthony Van Dyke. I thought he was brilliant the other night in the Tyros Stakes. Aidan's won it with Glen Eagles, Churchill, you know, Deauville, proper horses. I thought he's really good. I don't necessarily see him as being, I think he's be perfectly happy at a mile. Everyone seems to think he'll be a Derby horse. I think a mile will be fine for him. So he's won. And go back to that international. I just think Spanish City is a horse that's going to win a big one soon. He keeps just sort of, nothing keeps ever going right for him. He should have, he was only just caught in the Bunbury Cup. He sort of got hampered a few times here. I just think he's a horse that is very well handicapped still on 91 and he'll win a big race soon.
Okay, and finally, Tom Nugent.
I was in Nace on Wednesday night, and in the listed race, I thought Julia's Magic ran a good race to be fourth. She was very keen early, and if she settles, she'll definitely, she might pick up a bit of black type in the next day, and she might go on and win a listed race. She's a nice horse, Julia's Magic.
Excellent. That about wraps us up for today. But before we leave you, I will say, don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please rate, review and subscribe to them, whatever you're listening to them to us from. And I'll be on the track at Goodwood tomorrow with Lee Mottstead and Paul Binfield. He's back, the St Ives Sorcerer, to look at the best bets from day two of the meeting. And then David Jennings will be at Galway to go through the big races there. Don't forget, we have another golf postcast on Wednesday, and look out for our big kickoff postcast on Thursday, where Bruce and the Racing Post sport team will take an anti-post look at the new football season. So plenty to look forward to. Until next time, goodbye.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T&Cs apply. 18+. Begambleaware.org.